I started drinking, and I did it sneakily, and finally it just at a young age it got a hold of my life, and at that time I thought there was nothing worth living for, and I was just a teenager, and I wanted so much to die, because there was so much emptiness in my life.
Daigute, welcome, my friend, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a Soto woman whose life got off to a tragic start and kept going in the wrong direction. But she heard about this one called Jesus.
My name is Venus Cody. I'm Soto. I was born and raised in a place called Kamsack, Saskatchewan. I lived on the Cody Reserve most of my life. Life for me did not start easily. I was raised by my grandparents, and my mother unfortunately had died at the hands of my stepfather. I have two sisters younger than myself. It was their father. And he drank a lot, and when he'd come home, he'd have a change of personality, and sad to say that my mother got the brunt of it all. And so one night he got carried away and he killed her at the age of 3. I witnessed that, and that was the beginning of life. My grandfather came in the next day and he found me under the table with my sisters, and they were just babies themselves. So I got to live with my grandparents, and I used to look out of the window, waiting for my mother to come home, and knowing that she would never ever come home again. And they tried to get me to tell them what had happened or what I saw, but I guess I hadn't spoken for quite some time, and they all thought that I needed to see a psychiatrist or someone to try to get them to see if I had some emotional scars. Obviously, I guess I did. My grandparents lost their two oldest ones within a matter of 2 years. My mother and then their oldest son went out into the field one day and he shot himself. My family, we're not the type of people to express what they felt or how they saw things. They drank, and so I saw a lot of alcoholism. I saw a lot of drinking, and when they drank, there was a lot of physical violence amongst them. And that was just the way that they knew how to cope, was by drinking, and that was life. Never went to church. My grandmother would talk about God. I knew God as the one who created all things, but that's all I knew about him. I never knew any more than that, nor did I have a desire to know any more than that. My grandfather, whom I loved very much, and got sick, and he died, and I thought life was over because he was gone, and I love my grandmother just as much, but my grandfather died, and then I used to think that, God was punishing us because there was just seemed so much death in my family. And my grandmother raised 3 families, her own, us 3, and then she had a daughter who was out drinking one day in Saskatchewan. The winters are brutal, they're cold, and she went out partying one night and she was trying to make it home, and neighbor found her on the snowbank. She froze to death and left 7 kids, and so my grandmother ended up with 7 more kids. And there's just so much heartache. I think there was so much sadness than there was happiness in my family. But as kids, we did things together. We always played together. And so we tried to make enjoyments for ourselves by just playing and forgetting about the heartaches. But as we saw the adults, that was not so. And there was just more drinking and more drinking. I used to tell myself that I was never going to be like that, that I was going to change things, break the cycle, and that didn't happen. I started experiencing with alcohol, and the thing that I realized, it helped me to forget a lot of the pain in my heart. I started drinking, and I did it sneakily, and finally it just at a young age, it got a hold of my life, and at that time I thought there was nothing worth living for, and I was just a teenager, and I wanted so much to die, because there was so much emptiness in my life, and I had no desires, there was no hopes, there was absolutely nothing, it was just existing. And a friend of mine one time came up to me and she said, they were Christians, and she said, did you know that Jesus loves you? And I thought that was baloney, because why would Jesus love me when there was so much heartache in my life? I thought that he caused all the pain in my life, because he had control over life and death, and he took most of my family, and my family were hurting, and it was just hard just to even think that there was a God up there that would say that he would love me. And I thought, no, that wasn't, could not believe that. And that was the first time I think I've ever heard of Jesus. And then my drinking escalated, and I quit school and moved away and drank that much more, and different one came up to me and said, Jesus loves you. And I told him to get lost in so many words, and then I tried to quit drinking, and I did quit drinking for a couple of years, but God was not a part of my life, or it wasn't even, he wasn't even thought of. I drank with this girl quite often. She was a good friend, and she used to talk to me about going to church, and she sang in church. And I asked her how come she didn't sing in church anymore, and she says, well, I'm not living the way I should be living. Well, I had no idea what that meant, because I was not churched. So when we weren't drinking, she would talk about God, and I asked her one day, I said, where do people go that don't go to heaven? Because she talked about heaven as a place where only Christians get to go. And I said, well, where do people go that are not Christians? And she said, they wander around in darkness and they never see the light. And I said, well, how do you know one is a Christian? And she said, they have to have Jesus Christ living in their heart. You have to ask him to come and live in your heart. And that was it. She never asked me if I ever wanted to become a Christian. So our conversation finished, and we continued our little journey of drinking. And she got caught up in a bad relationship, and this man murdered her. And I'm thinking to myself, there I go again. And then I continued on, and it just seemed that the more that I drank, the more emptiness that I had, and the more that I wanted to die. But I was too afraid to commit suicide, because the way things are going in my life, I thought, if I tried that, I'd probably end up in a hospital somewhere and mangled, and probably couldn't even do that right. I was trying to kill myself by drinking, in which I'd always wake up every day. I even drank a substance, hoping that I would die. And at that time, people were drinking Lysol spray. I figured, I'll try it, and I'll be dead. And I did, but I managed to wake up again, and I was still so much alive. Couldn't do that right. It just, wherever I went, it always seemed that God always placed some Christian there to tell me that God loves me. And this is all taking place. I'm not even 19 yet. I'm just barely 20, and I'm already one that drinks every day nonstop. And because it's not that I couldn't live without it. I just didn't want to live without it. I just did not want to live. I had no purpose and no meaning. And I wound up living in Calgary for a few years, and I wound up not drinking for a couple of years. And coming back home to Saskatchewan, I wound up in the hospital from too much drinking. I almost poisoned myself from too much drinking. So I was laying in the hospital room all by myself, and I was laying on the bed thinking, okay, I'm 24 years old, have nothing to show for my life. And I had nothing, absolutely nothing, just a little box of earthly belongings, and that's all I had. And then it's almost like God brought back to my memory everyone that shared the gospel with me, everybody that shared Jesus with me, and I can tell you who they were and when. There was a young girl in Calgary when I was staying in this halfway house from going from a women's treatment center to this house where you can stay for a year and work and try to get your life together. And there was this girl by the name of Susie that used to sit on her bed reading her Bible, and she's only 16, 17 years old. And I would go into her room and I'd ask her what she was reading, and she would tell me that she was reading the Bible. And she would go down to a coffee house, and they would go and pray and sing and read together. And then they would put tracts in their pockets, and then they would go downtown Calgary and hand out these tracts. And then I said, do you really believe what you're reading? And she said, yes. And she said, it's the story of Jesus and how he came to this earth to die for you and to take the sin upon himself so that you wouldn't have to die. I just sort of just pushed it at the back of my mind, thinking, well, that's her. She wants to change her life that way.
Who is this Jesus? Many say he was a good teacher. Jesus said he was the Son of God, and that he came to seek and to save the lost. He also said that he was the only way to God. We read in the Bible these words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could be right with God. He paid your penalty so that you could be forgiven. Then God raised him from the dead. If you will put your trust in Jesus, if you will accept him as your Savior, God will accept you and give you a new life. Want to know more? Pick up a Bible and read the Gospel of John. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. You can also find us online at withoutreservation.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to Venus' story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.